This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1481. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded October 8th, future plans from Ascension and Slovakia. Reactivated or new frequencies from Chad, Myanmar, Solomon Islands, Turkey. China relay on Long Island. Curious calls from Cuba and Indiana. HCJB closed but not closed. FEBC recovers from flood. The Blob from India. Radio Sweden stops QSLing. And the propagation outlook. Reporting to IRCA, Colin Newell in Victoria, B.C. was pleased to pick up KYUK, 640 kilohertz in the remote Alaskan town of Bethel, October 4th at 1400 UT. And he produced a recording which he considers to be of staggering quality. But on the other hand, it's not too difficult to hear that in other Alaskans in his location once the lower 48 stations such as KFI have faded out in the morning. Then he got an email verification from the chief engineer, Joseph Seibert, who said KYUK will be replacing the antenna this coming summer with a customized egg beater monopole to accommodate IBOC digital broadcasting. We will continue to broadcast our analog monaural signal until 2010. So that means they are planning to broadcast in IBOC only on AM, something which has not yet been done in the rest of the United States. Scott Fibush explains that Alaskan radio stations, especially those on AM, are very tempted to go IBOC because of the extremely high power costs to run their regular analog transmitters, and they can save a great deal by going to so-called HD. This is probably coincidental, but about the same date, there were press stories circulating about the HARP project, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program near Gakona, Alaska, carrying out another experiment, creating an artificial ionosphere. That appeared in several places, even the Times of India, via Mike Terry. Should you hear Albanian on 880 medium wave interfering with WCBS New York, where else could it be coming from than Sheridan, Arkansas? And an ID at first was reported by Barry Bankston in Tennessee at midnight UT, mentioning the Albanian community in Florida. However, Andy Sennett identified it as a network originating with the Tan Talk radio network in Clearwater at WTAN 1340. Which has an Albanian hour every week at that very time, UT Sundays at midnight. And it's being relayed by a station being upgraded in Arkansas, KLRG on 880. Kevin Redding says their transmitter failed and they're testing a new 50 kilowatt heard all over the eastern U.S. and Canada while testing. I assume that's supposed to be 50 kilowatt only in the daytime hours. The BBC relay station on Ascension Island has been powered by diesel generators, and they also supply power for all the other island's inhabitants. But they are phasing those out and setting up wind turbines in order to offset more than 4 kilotons of CO2 every year and save 500 kilopounds a year in cost. The foundations are about to be laid for the turbines, according to the Bournemouth Daily Echo, via David Morris in Communication of the British DX Club. Look out for the Australian stations on 120 meters. John Wilkins in Colorado, Coomber DX, says he may have had the best ever reception yet of VL8K and Catherine on 2485, October 3rd as late as 1330 UT, with country music until the news on what is the half hour to us. The other two are on 2325 and 2310 all in the Northern Territory. I've heard them as well, although not that well yet. Joe's Jacob in southern India tells us that Bhutan Broadcasting Service was back on the air October 3rd at 0100 UT 6035. It had been off for several days since an earthquake in the area. If you hear American newscasters such as Katie Couric during her CBS TV news on 1050 medium wave, what could it be, wonders J.D. Stevens in Mississippi in IRCA. Dave Pyatt in Ontario says it's CHUM in Toronto, no longer an oldie station, now relaying a cable TV station called CP24, or Cable Pulse, which apparently also picks up CBS television news. After using 7120 for a while, from late September into early October, Radiodiffusion Nationale Tchadienne in Chad has been reported from numerous listeners around 4905, one of the three frequencies they choose unpredictably. It's about 20 or 30 hertz low, according to Anker Peterson and Brian Alexander. However, I've yet to see a report of it in the local mornings when it would make it better to North America, just in the evenings when it's being widely heard in Europe, but the sign-off time varies a lot. Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal heard it at 2055 UT. Another day, they vanished around 1900. While no American station is allowed to broadcast in China, least of all VOA, CRI continues making inroads into the U.S. We reported a while ago they bought out all the airtime on a station on AM in Hawaii. And here's another story they have apparently been downplaying, but Sergey S. found a report on it from the Russian service of CRI, where they were rather proud to say that they now have a station in the New York City area relaying China Radio International from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. WGBB on Long Island, AM 1240. Also FM 101.1. One of the English broadcasts of Radio Havana, Cuba, which vanished a few months ago, has been making sporadic reappearances. The one at 2030 to 2130 UT. Edwin Southwell in England was hearing at least the last half of that on 11760 September 22nd, but you can't depend on it being there every day or for the entire hour. Another unpredictable thing at RHC is whether they'll be using English or Spanish on 6140 between 05 and 0700. On October 4th, I found Havana's Spanish DX program in Contacto had changed time again. One of the airings has been a secret since it's part of a larger magazine program. It was originally Sundays around 2140, then it moved an hour later, but now it was back ending at 2158 or so. So it must be starting again at 2141 approximately. I heard it on several other frequencies on the air at that time. 11760, 11770, 13790, 5965, those were synchronized, and two others which were synchronized with each other, 13760 and 6000 kilohertz. Furthermore, later that same evening into UT Monday, I heard En Contacto repeated at a totally unexpected time, 0550 UT Monday. Well, it started about 0543, and that was on 6140, which happened to be in Spanish, on that occasion. So there could be even more repeats of the show we don't yet know about. By the way, did you know that Radio Havana Cuba has a regular call sign? At least one appears on the Radio Cubana website, along with other Cuban networks, as CMRH, which certainly makes sense, but we never hear them announce it in any language. A couple of more tentative reports of the evasive radio Bayrak in Turkish Cyprus. Both measured it on 6150.74. According to Niels Schiffhauer in Germany, ADX via BCDX, There was interference from Deutsche Welle in Rwanda on 6150 around 1600 UT, so it could not get a certain ID. The other report was October 6th at 1955 by Giampiero Bernardini in Italy. He also had interference from 6150 and only got a few words and music. I heard the final broadcast of HCJB September 30th on two of its frequencies aimed usward, 11960 and 9745. However, their publicity has been a bit misleading, because 6050 remains on the air, as well as 11920 in the Portuguese to Brazil service in the evening. Stefan Shaw in Germany, who's apparently with the German service of HCJB, explains in the X Listening Digest that what is still on the air from PIFO is as follows. 6050 with 50 kilowatts until they have their lower powered transmitter ready at Mount Pichincha. 11920 in Portuguese, 11705 digital Portuguese, and 15280 digital German. Those three will remain on the air until November 15th. Unlike the previous week, on UT October 5th, Monday, both Radio Marti and the Cuban Jammers were off the air from 6030, allowing Ron Howard in California to hear Radio Oromia in Ethiopia on that frequency, signing on at 0320. He had a fair signal from CFVP in Calgary as well until Ethiopia came on, with an interval signal until 0330. For several months, the signals from Guinea's only shortwave frequency, 7125, have been fairly strong, although sporadic, but the modulation has been barely audible. Finally, however, the modulation is much better, first reported by Bruce Fisher in Massachusetts on October 4th at 2155, playing West African music. He said, "I haven't heard them at this level since last year." Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal agrees that the silent carrier almost is now filled with audio, perhaps the aftermath of a repair or adequate transmitter handling. I hope it's not associated with the latest strife Guinea has been going through, according to the news. Alan Pennington in Scotland, British GS Club, thinks they must have repaired the transmitter as of 5 October. Just about every morning since October 3rd, I've been hearing an extremely distorted, noisy blob, apparently an out-of-order broadcaster, on different frequencies, starting about 1320 UT, as low as 9432 and as high as 9500, and covering up to 20 kilohertz at a time, interfering with a variety of other stations. Finally, thanks to confirmation from Alok Dasgupta in Calcutta, it is the 9470 transmitter of All India Radio in Aligarh. And according to him and Alokesh Gupta and Manu Ritola in Finland, they've had this very disturbed transmitter going like that for about 4 months now, even though they've been advised of the problem. They ought to turn it off if they cannot fix it. It's always in parallel with Bengaluru on 9425, the national service, starting at 1320, and sometimes you can tell that the audio matches. Since the Sumatra earthquakes, we've had some independent reports agreeing that the RRI station in Jambi on 4925 has an improved signal, which might be contrary to what you would expect. Did they actually increase the power because of the earthquake and the need to have better communications? It seems unlikely they could do that on short notice. John Wilkins in Colorado, Cumbre DX, heard it from 1253 past 1330 on September 30th. He says it's an improved signal, but it already was starting for 2 or 3 weeks. Ron Howard in California and Luca Botafiore in Italy also have noted the stronger signals, and so have I in Oklahoma, since I usually can't hear them at all. Meanwhile, the modulation of the external service, Voice of Indonesia, during the English hour at 1300 has continued to vary a lot. Some days it's sort of audible. However, on October 7th, the carrier was on, but no modulation could be heard. That's 9525.9, considerably off frequency. You're monitoring the 1,481st edition of World of Radio. Consult our website for much more info, worldofradio.org. Look especially for the archive of DX Listening Digests, upon which this program is based. Our thanks this week for financial support from Andy Reid in Ontario, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. A check in the mail is also welcome to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702, USA. Via Takahito Akabayashi and Seichi Hasegawa, we have news of a special broadcast celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Asian Broadcasting Institute. It's on October 8th and repeated on the 9th at 13 to 1330 UT on 12085, the transmitter site being Tashkent, Uzbekistan. Although the program is in Japanese, there will be short announcements in Korean, Chinese, and English at the opening and closing, and a special QSL is offered. Details in DX Listening Digest 9076 via worldofradio.org. If you don't hear it at 1300, try 1330, as Andy Sinnott has suggested, in order to avoid interference from Radio Netherlands. Here's a bit of ham radio DX news. Midway Island has a de-expedition between October 9th and 19th. Although the call prefix there is supposedly KH4, the team will be using K4M, operating from Sand Island. In the OPDX bulletin via Dave Raycroft, ODXA, the details are at their website, www.midway2009.com. Ron Howard in California notes that on October 7th, Myanmar radio switched to their off-frequency transmitter, heard before and after 1330, 5985.78 variable. These are believed to be in two different cities. Alokesh Gupta refers us to the website of FEBC in the Philippines about the damage they had because of the typhoon and flooding. It says floodwaters poured into the shortwave installation building in Bocaue with four high-powered transmitters broadcasting in 54 language groups of Asia, 36 hours a day total. These were taken off the air for a few days while staff worked around the clock to clear the mud and dry out the equipment, even before their own homes, in order to restore broadcasts as early as possible. By Thursday, that would be October 1st, the transmitters were back in action with no permanent damage. And the government's Voice of the Philippines could be heard with special coverage of the damage done by Typhoon Parma. Ron Howard in California heard that October 4th from 0217 to 0312 on 15285. Actually, they were apparently relaying a station which is normally sports radio. The next day, October 5th, from Sinon at 0200, they were back to regular programming such as Dateline Malacanang and at 0231 PBS Network News. If you hear a heterodyne slightly above 6170 listening to New Zealand, as I did October 5th at 1335, it's probably Radio Magazine DZRM, a much lower-powered Philippine station, reported by Brian Clark, New Zealand, and Ron Howard, California, on 6170.4. Kai Ludwig forwards an item in German from satnews.de about the possible closure of Radio Slovakia International. It says that Slovak Radio got no new funds for running the foreign service so far. Thus, contracts of staff members have been terminated, effective at year-end. They still hope to get the money. In that case, the service would continue without changes. Otherwise, only broadcasts in Slovak and English would continue, but presumably no longer on shortwave. No sources were specified in the report, perhaps reflecting statements from staff in the German service. SIBC Solomon Islands back on the air as of October 7th, first reported by Chuck Bold in Florida, not on the frequency they'd used previously, 9541.5 variable, but on their 60-meter band channel, 5018.4, heard October 7th at 0927 until 1000. He said he could barely make out the details. It was also heard by Bob Wilkner in Florida from 1010 to 1029, and by David Sharp in New South Wales, who measured it on exactly 5018.513. starting at 0900 UT, October 7th. Slightly distorted audio, but not bad, and a very strong signal there in Australia. As Hasegawa in Japan also reported at 10:30, closing at 12:01, but staying on the air to relay BBC World Service after the anthem from 12:05 UT. Ron Howard in California heard it as well, between 12:07 and 14:37, relaying BBC World Service. And Jari Savalainen in Finland was getting it as early as 13:35 with the BBC relay. You may recall that they gave as an excuse for closing down the other frequency, they were getting too many DX reports from abroad rather than from their domestic target. So think twice before sending them DX reports about 5018.5. In Cumbria DX, Bruce Churchill in California heard something on 4990, believed to be Radio Apinti in Suriname. Heard October 4th at 0623 tune-in for the first time in many months with its typical nonstop pop music. But further checks are needed to reconfirm that Apinti Suriname is on the air again. Many stations have started to distribute or post their B09 schedules going into effect the last Sunday in October, including Radio Sweden on their website. Not only that, but they say, as had been previously rumored, that they are discontinuing their own productions in the Swedish language. Instead, they will be relaying the domestic service. Furthermore, bad news for DX listeners or QSL collectors, they say on their website, we are discontinuing mailing QSL cards to listeners in response to reception reports, and printed program schedules will be available only on request. In DX Mix News Bulgaria, we have the B09 schedule for Voice of Turkey. The English portion shows some new frequencies, not only changed from what they're using now, but mostly from what they used last winter. As always, all the broadcasts move one UT hour later. At 0400 to North America, 6020, 7240 to Asia, and the Sackville relay will be on 6040. Cross your fingers that they'll be able to get the right language on at the new time. At 1330, not intended for North America, but often audible here, 12035 again, but the new one will be 15300. At 1930 on 6050, at 2130 on 9610, and at 2300 to North America, 5960. Until then, we'll have to put up with another few weeks of radio teletype interference at 2200 on 9830. Jari Savolainen in Finland says, I've not been able to get any signals from Turkmenistan for many, many weeks during the afternoon and evening. Is anyone still hearing them, or are they gone for good from 4930 and 5015? Reminder to check 9330 in case WBCQ is running that frequency, as well as 7415, as it occasionally does during World of Radio at 19 UT, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. A New York Times story via Mike Cooper says that WQXR, New York's only classical music station, will have a new sound starting October 8th, according to plans unveiled by its new owner, WNYC. They're canceling the religious programming and eliminating a lot of the vocal music and less popular classical music. Missing from the new guidelines for a playlist is Gustav Mahler. Schubert's symphonies were deemed radio-worthy, but not the piano trios or songs. Ravel's orchestral music, but not solo piano works. Sibelius' symphonies, but not his tone poems. Janáček chamber works, but not operas. Brahms' symphonies, but not choral works. Beethoven's symphonies and piano concertos, but not the late piano sonatas, songs, or chamber works. Vivaldi, except for shorter, sacred works. Nevertheless, in New York, they're still a lot luckier than in St. Louis, because the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has gone ahead and sold the classical music station there, KFUO-FM, to Gateway Creative Broadcasting, which broadcasts Christian contemporary music. That's in the Post-Dispatch via Artie Bigley. Last week, we reported that Sodre in Uruguay was once again active on shortwave 6125, and it was shortly heard as far away as New Zealand by Brian Clark at Mangavai. He says he got a positive ID for Radio Uruguay October 1st at 0910 UT. And at 0919, there was pleasant folk music, and a recorded ID as Radio Uruguay 1050 AM Montevideo. I've yet to see any reports of this from North America, but give it a try. It should be possible over that darkness path, well, right around sunrise in Uruguay. Radio Vanuatu on 3945, reporting to GRDXC. Terry Nielsen in New Zealand heard English news at 1000 UT back on September 15th. However, in the NASA flash sheet, Ed Vladarsky in New Jersey was listening at the same hour on October 4th, and there was no news to report. After an ID, just some more popular music. In case you'd like to learn Vietnamese by radio, I've noticed that Voice of Vietnam via Canada on 6175 has some lessons presented in English. Trouble is, they're not during the English broadcast, but during the Vietnamese broadcast, when one might assume most people listening already understand Vietnamese. I've heard it more than once, such as UT Friday, starting at 0518. It's probably a repeat of the earlier broadcast at 0218, and let's hope there is some printed or screen material available, as it's getting pretty advanced. They were at Lesson 14, Section 4, on October 2nd. Have you ever heard a U.S. shortwave station called WHSW? Well, it's on the books, according to the FCC International Bureau website, with a license at Noblesville, Indiana. I assume World Harvest Radio, even though they moved out the transmitters, renewed the license, and it's still in effect until November 1st. The propagation outlook from Boulder, issued October 6th, ANK indices almost always 5 and 2, solar flux rising from 69 to a peak of 72, October 18th to 30th. With a standard disclaimer and inviting you to hear me again next week, Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio, 1481.